Reverend Edward Hughes Pruden once said this. He said, every church is the product of someone's missionary activity. Every church is a monument to the missionary impulse. Every church should be reminded that it has been set down in the midst of a mission field, whether in the heart of Africa or in the heart of Washington, D.C. Every church, says Pruden, should be reminded that it has fallen heir to the great commission which Christ gave to his disciples in the long ago. Folks, the mission of missions cannot be complete without the church. We, the believers, not this building, we, the believers, all of God's assembled believers, comprise his church and carry out his mission. What is that mission? And how and by whom has the church been commissioned? Colossians 1:18 claims that Christ is the head of his body, made up of his people, that is, his church, which he began, and he is the leader of all of those who arise from the dead. His body, his people, his church, he began, and he's not finished with it. As a matter of fact, we might even say he's just getting started. Don W. Hillis once said that, quote, the whole duty of the whole church is to preach the whole gospel to the whole world, end quote. This is our mission. I want to read you a passage. It comes from Matthew 28:18 through 20. It's my top five. It's made my top five favorite Bible passages, and so I want to share this with you today. This is what Jesus told his disciples. Words to live by, words to memorize. He says this. He says, I have been given, Jesus says, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, that I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, those are strong words. Now, there is what's called the Great Commission, given to us by Jesus Christ himself. He puts the mission before us, and he asks us to accomplish this. The word mission means sent out or assigned a task. And as Jesus clearly states in his Great Commission, we are to go and do and make and be. Dr. Gene Cease once said that this mission of saved man is, quote, defined as transforming social structures, being present alongside the oppressed neighbor, and carrying out social services. Here's an example. Lonnie Rex is the present founder of the David Livingstone Foundation for International Relief in Tulsa. He found his mission one day when he was in Asia. This is his story. I was in Korea, says Rex, as the war was ending, and was told about some hurting children at an orphanage located in a nearby barn. I went there, and the sight was pitiful. 95 kids living on straw floors. They were hungry and living in the dark because all their bulbs had burned out. Mrs. Lee, a precious lady who was caring for the children, told me they had no money, were living on meals of rice, and that by the next day the food for the children would be gone. I sent one of my associates back to town to get light bulbs and food for the children. I knew the food would only last a few weeks, and I asked myself, what could I do to help these children? I didn't have the finances to support nearly 100 orphans. Then it suddenly dawned on me. Maybe I couldn't sponsor an entire orphanage, but anyone could help one orphan. All I had to do was find a sponsor for each orphan. Quickly, I started calling friends around the globe. It was exhausting and at times embarrassing. Finally, I had found a sponsor for each of those 95 children. Regarding Lonnie Rex's accomplishments, Bob Harrison once said this about this great missionary. He said, that was just the beginning. More than 40 years later, Lonnie Rex is still helping orphans. Only now it's thousands of them around the world. He impacted this generation and found his personal destiny because he was willing to demonstrate Jesus' love by releasing what was in his hands, end quote. My question is, what has God put in our hands and what has God laid upon our hearts? What has he asked us to do? You see, today we recognize this as the Coville Community Church, the day before, the Sunday before, we usher in packing party for our Operation Christmas Child campaign. 200 shoeboxes will be packed in this church and sent worldwide. Melinda Snow has been incredible in her endeavors. You've been incredible in your endeavors to pack those boxes and ship those boxes and change children's lives. It doesn't end there. We have other missions. We are supporting pastors in France. We are supporting children in Africa. We see this as missions because God put it in our hands. And we said, God, we trust that this is your calling for us. But that's not all for us. We have so much more. Philip, Paul, Barnabas, John, Mark, Luke, Timothy, Epaphras, Apollos, Silas, Titus, their mission was missions. Now the question is, why? I believe there's five reasons for it. Number one, regarding missions, God's holiness requires them. Number two, man's corrupted character needs them. Number three, Christ's cross demands them. Number four, the world church is responsible for them. And lastly, our eternity and their eternity hinges on them. Speaking first of God's holiness, let's go through these very quickly. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:16, he says, God himself has said, you must be holy, for I am holy. You see, the mission of missions is to sanctify people, which means to set them apart and make them holy, and only God can do this because God is holy. And if we say, I want to live in eternity, I know that this world can't be it for me, then we have to ascribe to be holy. And the only way to do that is through a God who is perfectly and ultimately and sovereignly holy. That's the only way. And so when we look around and we see that man needs holiness, we look at it and we say, God, help us. Man's corrupted character needs this. Romans 3:23 says this, all have sinned, all fall short of God's glorious ideal. You see, our mission is to help men through Jesus to overcome sin. That's our mission. And we know that all have sinned. Every single one of us. We might feel pretty special today until we realize that we're still all sinners. So we're all in this together. And thus the reason that Christ's cross demands them. Jesus said in Luke 24, 46 and 47, he says, it was written long ago that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again from the dead on the third day. Here it comes. And that this message of salvation should be taken from Jerusalem to all the nations. There is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. The mission of missions is to reach and teach the all. The world's church is clearly responsible for that all. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is using us to speak to you. We beg you as though Christ himself were here pleading with you. Receive the love he offers you and be reconciled to God. Lastly, our eternal condition hinges on missions. Luke 16, 19 through 31 tells us this. My question is this, how did we get here? You ever wonder that? How did you get here? I mean, this, folks, is not a drive-by. How did you end up here? We've got a pretty large group of people here, especially today. How did you get here? I'm guessing that you did not drive by Covell. You may drive by the community occasionally, but I'm guessing something else happened. I'm guessing that somebody else cared enough about you to invite you to bring you here because they felt like there was something special going on here. I'm guessing that's how it happened. Now, if you were one of those few people that did a drive-by, if you were out driving one day and said, hey, that looks like a neat church, we should go. Congratulations. You would be in the very big minority of individuals who've actually happened on to the Covell Community Church. The psalmist said in Psalm 105, 1 and 2, says, thank the Lord for all the glorious things he does. Proclaim them to the nations. Sing his praises and tell everyone about his miracles. You see, this task is not reserved for only foreign missionaries or world missionaries. Rather, this mission is given to every believer in Jesus Christ who has experienced that blessed thing called salvation. Psalm 9:11 says this, tell the world about his unforgettable deeds. You see, the mission of the church is to minister to the world. Now, I know what you think, because I tend to think this way too. I used to think this when I was younger. I used to think when we would talk about missions, I would always think about the guy with the safari hat, the khaki shorts with the bulging pockets and all the things in there, carrying a bucket of rice on his shoulders as he walked through the deserts or the forest. This is what I thought of. That doesn't happen here. You don't have to wear khaki shorts and a safari hat, and you don't have to carry rice on your shoulder. This mission for missions not only applies overseas, but it applies to what you see. It is here in Bloomington. It is here in Normal. It's in Covell. It's in Armington. It's in Minear. It's in Parnell. It is in Cisco. It's in Hayworth. It's in Cerro Gordo. It is everywhere that you can imagine. And it's right here, and the need is right here. We tend to think of missions. We say, oh, it's for the children in Africa. It's for the kids who are going to receive shoeboxes. Folks, it's for the people who actually pack the shoeboxes. It's for the people who live right here in our own communities. The mission of missions is for us to reach these people in our communities. And we're responsible for them. I'm going to read our sermon text today, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Powerful words, because this is a passage the Apostle Paul is talking about the importance of Scripture and how it relates, especially as he's charging Timothy on. And listen to these words and how it applies to our sermon today. He says, "And so I solemnly urge you before God and before Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom, to preach the word of God urgently at all times. Whenever you get the chance, in season and out, when it's convenient and when it's not, correct and rebuke your people when they need it. Encourage them to do right, and all the time be feeding them patiently with God's word. For there's going to come a time when people won't listen to the truth, but will go around looking for teachers who will tell them just what they want to hear. They won't listen to what the Bible says, but will blithely follow their own misguided ideas. Stand steady, and don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Bring others to Christ. Leave nothing undone that you ought to do." You know, William Barclay shares this account. He says, "Martin Luther had a friend who felt about the Christian faith as he did. The friend was also a monk. They came to an agreement. Luther would go down into the dust and the heat of the battle for the Reformation in the world, and the friend would stay in the monastery and uphold Luther's hands in prayer." So they began that way. Then one night, the friend of Luther's had a dream. He saw a vast field of corn as big as the world, and one solitary man was seeking to reap it, an impossible and a heartbreaking task. Then he caught a glimpse of the reaper's face, and the reaper was Martin Luther. And Luther's friend saw the truth in a flash. He said, "I must leave my prayers and get to work." And so he left his pious solitude and went down to the world to labor in the harvest. Barclay says it's the dream of Christ that every man should be a missionary and a reaper. There are those who cannot do other than pray, for life has laid them helpless and their prayers are indeed the strength of the laborers. But that's not the way for most of us, says Barclay. For those of us who have strength of body and health of mind, not even the giving of our money is enough. If the harvest of men is ever to be reaped, then every one of us must be a reaper, for there is someone whom each one of us could and must bring to God," end quote. Regarding this concept of harvest and the role of the reaper, Jesus said in John 4, look at these verses 34 through 38. If you want to follow along with me, here's what Jesus said. John 4, 34 through 38. He's telling his disciples this. He says, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Do you think the work of harvesting will not begin until the summer ends 4 months from now? Look around you," Jesus said. "Vast fields of human souls are ripening all around us and are ready now for reaping. The reapers will be paid good wages and will be gathering eternal souls into the granaries of heaven. What joys await the sower and the reaper both together. For it is true that one sows and someone else reaps. I sent you to reap where you didn't sow. Others did the work and you received the harvest." What is Jesus saying in these verses? He is saying that the mission of missions is for us to work together. Sowers, harvesters, and reapers working diligently together. Look at verse 36. "What joys await the sower and the reaper both together." I've told this story before. When I was young, we lived down on a farm out in the middle of nowhere, and my dad had major surgery, and my dad was a farmer, had about 1,000 acres, and sold a lot of Pioneer seed corn. And so one year, my dad could not harvest. There was no way he could harvest. And so I remember I was thinking, what's going to happen to all of our land and all of our crops? And all of a sudden, I remember this, and it's just an image, a vision I'll never forget. I remember looking out our kitchen window, and I see this parade of combines and grain trucks. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. Every single color represented. All of them coming down this road. All farmers. It was like the all-star team of Central Illinois farmers gathered together. And they all rallied together, and they pulled into my mom and dad's house, and they all got out, and they said, where do we start? Now, I'll never, ever forget that. My dad hobbled out, and he just looked at the scene, and I'm looking out the window with bright eyes as the kid. I'm like, whoa. So this is what the farm community is all about. This is how people work together as a team. Then I realized that that role applies to all of us as a team. That we work together, we sow together, we reap together, we harvest together. You see, this teamwork and togetherness is seen in our relationship with Jesus as well as we work together to accomplish the mission of missions, get ready, as missionaries. That's right. We are all missionaries. You may never have thought yourself as a missionary. This is kind of a view of a visionary that we're all missionaries. You don't have to have the safari hat and the khaki shorts. You just have to have a willing heart. And you have to have a love for Jesus Christ and a love for lost souls. And you realize that you can be right here in Covell, Bloomington, Normal, Hayworth, Cisco, Parnell, wherever you live, and you will function in your role as a missionary. So how do we accomplish this? Well, man's role is to pray for them. We know that. Colossians 4, 3 and 4. To provide for them. 1 Corinthians 9, 9 through 14. In return, God works with us. He prepares them. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. He empowers them. Acts 1, verse 8. All of us, we're all part of this. This is God's plan for each and every one of us. The mission, this mission is not only daunting, but it's also challenging. Is it any wonder why Jesus said regarding the mission of missions that the harvest is so great and the workers are so few? So pray to the one in charge of the harvesting and ask him to recruit more workers for his harvest field. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Folks, we are those recruited workers. You're here for a reason. You may say, I come to Covell Community Church because I need energized and refilled and taught. I need to be blessed. And you're right. But you also are called, directed, and guided to your mission field. You are asked to go out and win lost souls. You are asked to go out and take your life, which you think is all about you, and make it all about them for him. That's what we're called to do. Many of us think that we've reached our eternal destination, our final destination, when we find the pew at the Covell Community Church. And I can tell you this, it's only the beginning. Our work is only beginning. Will we accept the mission? You see, many will say that this mission is impossible, but we know that this mission is not for the many. It's for the called, the elected, the believers, God's disciples, God's chosen people. And it takes that kind of faith to accomplish this great of a mission. Look at the words in our sermon text that are used to describe and define this daunting and challenging mission. Preach the words of God urgently. Oh, really? Aren't we all busy? Even our retirees are busy. We're all busy. And then he says, you got to do this urgently. Wouldn't it be better if he said, just take it slowly. Just do it incrementally. In fact, if you want to do it, just do it yearly. That's fine. He says, preach the word of God urgently. We might not like that word, urgently. How about this? Do it in season and out. In season. You know what in season is, the church? Not just this church, every church. You know what in season is? Let me tell you what in season is. In season is anywhere between 65 degrees and 80 degrees. That's in season. If you're below it or you're above it, that's out of season. In season is 65 to 80 degrees. If it's too cold, we're not getting out in this. I'm not coming to church. Are you kidding me? My bed's warm. I'm not going out in that. If it's above 80, it's too hot. I don't want to be out in the heat. It's no good. In season is sunny. Because if it's cloudy, you want to stay in bed because it's really a lot more comfortable. It feels a little darker. It's got to be sunny. In season means that there's not too much rain. because if it's raining, it's going to mess my hair up, if you have hair, and that's bad. In season is not too windy because the winds of Covell are stronger than any other winds in the world. I believe it. I don't know what it is out here. It's just God always blowing winds through Covell. In season means it can't be too windy. In season means it can't be too dry because my allergies act up. Folks, by the time we get done figuring out what in season is, you got 4 Sundays out of the year. 4 Sundays. Your in-season Sundays are 4 Sundays. The rest of the time, you're going to have to make it out of season. You're going to have to spend time in the church out of season. You're going to spend time outside of the church out of season, which means you're going to have to do it when you don't want to do it or when God says it's going to be a little harder to do it. There is a difference between in-season and out of season. How about this one? Not convenient. You got to do it when it's not convenient. You know what most of us will say? Not happening. Not convenient, not happening. It's got to be convenient. Are you kidding me? I live in a world of convenience. Everything is convenient. I can't be asked to do something that's inconvenient. How about this one? It says to correct and rebuke. That doesn't happen in many households. We got to do that in God's house. That's going to be hard. Correcting and rebuking? Really? How about this one? How about the word suffering? The word suffering? You had me at correcting and rebuking. Now we got to suffer? We went to Olive Garden and we were in another town for supper. Friday night, we went and took the kids out, had a good time in our family night, went to Olive Garden, walked in, the place was packed. Second restaurant I went to, first restaurant, there was a 90-minute wait or 60-minute wait, whatever it was. I said, we're not doing that because I like my food urgently. So I went to the Olive Garden because that's unique. And so we went in and lady said, yeah, it's going to be 5 or 10 minutes. Remind me of the Seinfeld episode, 5, 10 minutes. I said, okay. And so I said, she said, you want one of the buzzers? And so I said, great, that's great. And I said, oh, by the way, I need you to seat us as far away from small kids as possible. She says, you're serious? I said, oh, I'm serious. I said, you know what I'm talking about. You guys know. Have you ever sat in a restaurant and just heard the kids screaming and going nuts and running around the restaurant throwing food? I said, that doesn't really enhance my dining experience. And they said, you're kidding me, right? I said, no, I'm not kidding you. They said, well, that's not going to be possible tonight because we're full. So this lady comes out and she says, all right, your table's ready. And I said, can we see the table first? She said, really? I said, yeah, really. She said, well, it's out in the middle of nowhere. And right out in the middle, I was like, oh, great. And so a nice couple sat beside us, and I looked at her, and I said, this will be just fine. And sure enough, there was a kid running around the restaurant, right in my eyesight, just running around the restaurant, throwing food at his brother, screaming at the top of his lungs. I'm like, this is good. This is good, even at Olive Garden. Here's my point. This is why I bring this up. I bring it up because this is a challenge, folks. This world is challenging. It's challenging. And to go out and win lost souls in a world that doesn't value God's word is challenging. And yet we're still called to do it. Now, there are times when I want to go out and hide at a restaurant and get away from it all. You can't get away from it all. It's right here before us. It's in front of us, and we are called to be in front of it. So that means that when these challenges come to go out and win the lost souls and change the world, we're going to have to be on the front line or the middle table at the Olive Garden with the crazy waiter. All right. He was a little crazy too, I think, just a little bit. David Livingstone once said, every heart without Christ is a mission field. Every heart with Christ is a missionary. You see, unsaved man sees this mission as impossible, but saved man knows that God will make the missionary fully prepared and powerful, and Livingstone knew this. But listen to verses 3 and 4. For there's going to come a time when people won't listen to the truth. They'll go around looking for teachers who will tell them just what they want to hear. They won't listen to what the Bible says, but will blithely follow their own misguided ideas. This is that time, folks. We're in it. This is that time. You think people really want to hear God's word? You think people really want to be corrected and rebuked? You think that's the case? I had to correct and rebuke my daughter last night. She left a wrapper, a bag. She got cheese puffs. She got cheese puffs for Halloween. That was great. She left the wrapper sitting at the front door. Jeff saw it go down. It was not pretty. Because Jeff and I walked like 3 miles last night taking our kids trick-or-treating. And I looked at Jada. Jeff knows. I looked at Jada and I said, Jada, pick up the wrapper. You don't litter in my house. And you should have seen Ella and Eli. They said, we feel sorry for Jada. I said, I don't blame you. I do too. This is tough times, guys. These are tough times. And so we've got to be greater than the tough times. We've got to rise up against the tough times. We've got to be better than what everybody else says we are. This is what's better. God's word is better. God's word will win. No wonder Paul uses the word urgently regarding the preaching of God's word to a lost world. If our mission is to be missionaries, how will we win souls in the mission field? How are we going to do it? I'm going to tell you, there's four ways we're going to do it. Number one, we will do it first through conversation, because this is what Jesus did. I know some of you say, conversation? I mean, I got to talk to people? I don't want to talk to people. We're called to talk to people. Conversation. Jesus did it. It's interesting. He conversed with a leper. That was a no-no. He conversed with a tax collector, a Samaritan woman, a Jewish religious leader. He was talking to everyone. We got to do the same thing. It's easy to talk to the people we like, right? That's easy. We do that every day. I have my circle of people I call every day. But it's a lot more difficult to converse with the people that we may not know or may think we don't like. Conversation is a way to win lost souls. You see, Jesus' goal was to save the sinner. To reach them, he talked to them. The question is, are we willing to talk to them? Secondly, we will win souls through imitation. 1 John 2:6 says, anyone who says he is a Christian should live as Christ did. Jesus lived like a missionary. Are we living like Jesus? Ask yourself that. Same if you say, I don't know what Jesus lived like. It's in here. Spoiler alert. It's in here. If you want to know what Jesus lived like, if you want to know what Jesus looked like in front of his people, read it. It's in here. That's who we imitate. If you say, I'm just going to imitate somebody I know, be careful. They may not be worth imitating. Imitate Jesus. Imitate Christ and see what happens when we try to win souls to Christ. Thirdly, we're going to win souls through instruction. Paul said to the Christians in Colossians 1:6, the same good news that came to you is going out all over the world and changing lives everywhere. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word of God urgently at all times. Why? There's going to come a time when people won't listen to the truth. They'll listen to what the Bible says. They won't listen to what the Bible says. They'll follow their own ideas. It's that time. They don't want the truth. They want our approval, and they want all of those things to be changed according to their time frame. It can't be this way. Instruction. Are we willing to teach them God's word? Do we know God's word well enough to teach it? Do we live by it? If someone comes up to you today and says, hey, I got a question for you. I need to know this. It's important. This happens to me all the time. I need to know this. Tell me what you think. My first response is, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, what is my first response? You don't want my opinion. My opinion is a mess. It's biased. It's skewed, unless it's sports or movies or music. And then I'll give you my opinion. But you don't want my opinion. You want God's truth. And I'll give you God's truth, and you may not like it, but I'll share it. That's what you got to have. If we instruct people, we'll change people. If we instruct people, we're going to teach people and lead people to Jesus Christ. It works, I promise you. Lastly, we will win souls by invitation. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and with him and eat with him and he with me. Our invitation is done by imitation. Let's open the door for the unbeliever and to the unbeliever. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I don't think you're going to like. But I'm going to need to be very, very honest with you here today. And I think it's going to be unsettling, and so I'm going to warn you. I always preview it this way so you know. So the shock is not too great. Folks, you've got to be willing to invite people to your church. And if you're unwilling to invite people to your church because you're embarrassed of your church, don't like talking about your church, don't like your church, you need to leave this church. It's the truth. You see, a lot of people's lives have been changed right here over 100 years in this church. But if you're not willing to talk about it and love it and cherish it, embrace it, and tell people about it and invite people to it, you're probably in the wrong church. And therefore, I would encourage you to go find a church that you can invite people to. I am hopeful that everybody in here would say, I love our church. I love the people in our church. You got to come out and meet the people in our church. They're great people. You got to see it. Now, some people are going to say, yeah, church, I don't think so. They're full of hypocrites. You can say, yeah, we all are hypocrites. Wish that weren't the case. Just tell them that. See what happens. It's true. I mean, we all try to live a righteous life, and we all fail miserably, right? Just tell them that. Say, listen, every day try to look like Christ and live like Christ, and I fail miserably. That probably makes me a hypocrite. So, yeah, you're right. We're all hypocrites. Come in and join the party. You're invited. Let me give you another line. If you're going to invite people, we give you examples. We give you opportunities to invite people outside of the church. And people say, I'm not going to church. Those people are nuts. Now, they may be right. But you're going to give them an opportunity to go somewhere outside the church. November 12th, Thursday, November 12th. Folks, it's football and movies. I mean, how can you beat that? Throw in the fact that they bring food to your table in this theater, and you've got a win-win-win. And it's about Alabama football, man. You got to be excited. So here's what you do. Invite people to the movie. Say, hey, listen, I don't know. If you're a movie person or not, I think you'd like this movie. You got to come out. Most comfortable seats in Bloomington Normal. You got to just check out the seats. $5, that's it. $5. If they say they won't pay it, call me. We'll get them paid for. We'll get them taken care of. I'm telling you, I'm serious about this. This is the way to get them introduced to Jesus. Bring them into an environment. Let them see what it's like without us being in church. That's always a good thing. When we go bowling, we go to Grady's, we're fun people. We have fun. When they go to the movies, they'll have fun. They'll eat well. And they may learn something. And they may change their lives about that something. Invite. Folks, the mission of missions applies to all Christians. That's the case. Now, I'm going to ask you one more time. This is an important question. Why are you here today? I mean, really, why are you here today? And I'm going to tell you, I think I know the answer. For the most part, if you think about it, it's because someone invited you to come here at some point, not today, maybe not today, maybe it was today, but someone at some point invited you to come here today. Think about it. The person who invited you played the role of a missionary, but they were also a visionary because they looked and they said, hey, I think this person would like what the Covell Community Church has to offer. Now, you made it here because that person cared enough to get you here. But you know what? The ultimate goal is for God to have us up there. It doesn't end here. It ends up there. So the question is, now, are you willing to do what someone else did for you? Are you willing to be that visionary and missionary to say, you just got to come out and experience it? It's really a great place to be, whether it's here, whether it's at the movie event, whether it's when we go bowling, whether it's when we go to Grady's, whatever it is. Ask them to come and see what happens. The mission of missions applies to all Christians. We're all called to preach and teach and reach the lost and the unsaved through these biblical ways. The question today is, will we accept that mission? Isn't that a movie line? Wasn't that Tom Cruise Mission Impossible, if you choose to accept that mission? Paul says in Romans 10, 14 and 15, listen to this, talking about the unbelievers. He says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one to whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. You bring in the good news, you got good feet. That's the way it is. So do you have good feet? And are you willing to bring the good news? It's up to us to bring it and share it and teach it and imitate it and talk about it and invite people to it. Irma Bombeck, many of you know that name, once said this. She says, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, I used everything you gave me. Those are powerful words. Folks, what God has given us is meant to bring mankind to Jesus. That's his mission, and it must be ours. This week, I had a gentleman come into the funeral home to prearrange his funeral. He walked in, and he was sitting there. He had this grin on his face, and so I walked in. I instantly start the spiel, the same thing that I do for everyone, although it's sometimes a little different for people that I really, really love. And so anyway, he walks in, and I sit down, and he says, you don't know me, do you? He said, nope. He said, I know you. I said, really? He said, oh, yeah, I've been tracking you. And I'm thinking, it's time for you to leave. And he said, I've been tracking you. In fact, I know a lot about you. And I said, really? And he said, you really don't remember me? And I said, I don't remember. And he said, you're still pastoring at Covell, right? And I said, oh, yeah. And he said, I knew that. He said, that church is really growing, isn't it? I said, yeah, it's growing. Yeah, I knew that too. I said, who are you? I'm with the FBI. No, he was not with the FBI. But we had, I can't give it, because many of you would know him, I think. I can't give away the details. I can tell you this, that he was instrumental in us when we built our house in Bloomington. And so he remembered because we had actually worked with him on the project of building our house. I didn't remember, it's 11 years ago. But he said this, he said, I'm looking for a church. I said, my friend, look no further. Welcome to Covell, Illinois. You will never leave. And he said, I've been thinking about coming out. I said, no. You can't think about coming out. You got to come out. You can't think anymore. He's got to do it. Come out and experience it. If you don't like it, I'll buy you lunch. Just come out and do it. Experience it. And he said, okay. He said, I think I will. Now, I don't know what that means. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But at that time, I didn't feel like a pastor. You know what I felt like? I felt like a missionary. That's what I felt like. I felt like a man who needed to be helped, that needed to find a place where he can worship and plug in and tie in to a great group of people to worship with. That's what I felt like. That's what we have to feel like each and every day. We have to look for those opportunities. Sometimes they'll come to you. If you're at a restaurant, someone comes and says, I know you, run fast. I'm kidding. Don't do that. But take your time to converse with them and talk to them and spend time with them. Folks, we're farmers. We're state farmers. We're plumbers and laborers and public relations directors and factory workers and students and parents and grandparents and employees and retirees. But we're also called as Christians to be missionaries. Our mission field. Have you seen the sign? If you walk about, what we need to start doing, I'm serious, folks, we really need to do this. By the way, my back's better. Look at me moving. Ha, 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 ha. But I'm going to open this door. Look at this. There's a sign out here that says, don't you love the creaky doors? It just makes it that much better. It says, you are now entering your mission field. We need to do this like they do in the football games. You know, you know what I'm talking about, where they tap the sign before they go out there. They tap the sign. We need to do that. We need to wear that sign out. If you're short, you probably can't do it. I'm sorry. But if you're tall enough, tap the sign when you're going out. You are now entering your mission field. Why do I mention that? Because our mission field lies above and beyond these doors and beyond this sign. Our mission field is out there, and it's where God decides. That's our mission field. It's not in here. We're here. We know we're going to be there. We just got to get more people here so they'll know how to get there. That's our mission field. This is not a mission that is impossible, but it is a mission for the faithful. And so today, I hope that we will accept this mission. And I hope today that we will start performing the role of missionaries and visionaries to see the needs of those out there. Let's sing. Lord, I need you. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, say, you know what? I don't know him, but I want to know him. Come forward. We're going to pray with you today during the singing. Sure. There's a reason why we're all here. And folks, I don't know how you got here. I'm thrilled that you are here. But there are people, you heard the song, there are people that need you. They're looking for something in life. They've been looking their whole lives, and they never found anything to satisfy their lives. It's emptiness out there, but it's fullness in here. And so I pray that as you go out today and tomorrow and whenever you're out, wherever you work, wherever you go to school, whatever you do, go out and make a difference. Show people what Christ is, who he looks like, and how to live like him. And I promise you this, you will change people. They will want to be like him because that is just how powerful our Savior is. Thank you, Dale, for sharing that. Thank you. All of you have a story. Now let's share that story. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you've called us to do amazing work, but you've called us to go out and bring lost souls to you. This is not the work of missionaries overseas. This is the work of all of us, for everybody we see, everybody. Whether it's in America or Africa, it doesn't matter. We are called to fulfill this great task. And when we bring one lost soul to you, the joy that we feel is immeasurable. Help us, I pray, to seek that goal. Help us to look for that opportunity, I pray. Go with us. Keep us safe today. Empower us to do the work that you've called us to do. Thank you for this day. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.